Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Dr. Christopher Sanchez joins us. He's the director of the Nevada Department of Business and Industry, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
We're at Tamarack Casino at Nevada Steak with Chef Mike Mahoney. You have fabulous food here. This halibut is extraordinary.
The halibut was awesome. It was fun to cook. You get a nice sear on top, and then we baste that with a little bit of butter and garlic and herbs and stuff. It's fabulous.
It's a lot of butter.
It is.
And it looks really good, and it tastes even better. I'm trying this, which is the crab cake. You've got this crispy coating on the outside. What is that?
Actually, that's cornflakes.
Huh?
Cornflakes.
Really?
Yes, sir. The crispiness of the cornflake just adds more crispiness to the already, you know, crispy crab cake. It's awesome.
It's my favorite, and I'm a crab cake fanatic. Okay, this I just tried for the first time. It's ahi tuna in a whole different way.
Ahi tuna, it's a tuna tartare. It's ground up. We mix it with a little bit of spicy mayo, a little avocado puree, and our house-made ponzu sauce in there as well.
It tastes to me like sushi without the rice.
It's
got all the flavorings, but it's absolutely delicious.
Yeah, it's amazing.
All right, ribeye steak.
Ribeye steak, classic. Harris Ranch, certified Angus beef. You can't go wrong with a good steak here.
No, and that ribeye is particularly good. Again, we tried that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It is fabulous.
Yeah.
The wedge salad. I love a wedge salad that comes with a giant hunk of bacon on it. So you've got healthy and you've got bacon.
A little bit of indulgence. Yeah, a little indulge. What's great about this one is the bacon is cooked fresh to order for every single salad, so it's nice and hot.
Folks, you've got to come to Tamarack, the casino in South Reno. It is a fabulous place to begin with. It's made even more fabulous by Nevada Steak and your great food. Thank you for inviting us, and we will be coming back over and over because I'm in love with this tuna. I'm in love with the crab cake. Well, the ribeye's pretty, well, the halibut. It's all good, folks.
Just about everything.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're absolutely delighted to welcome to the program for the first time Dr. Christopher Sanchez. He is director of the Nevada Department of Business and Industry. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Good to be here.
And I should point out for those that don't know, and they can Google this, but your portfolio is vast. It's the largest portfolio of any of the directors, right?
Pretty close in terms of the range and scope. We have 11 different agencies under the Department of Business and Industry umbrella. And the best way to think about it is the state's preeminent regulatory agency. We have about 65 boards and commissions as well. So we cover every industry, and we license probably about 240,000 Nevadans.
So it's a pretty small job.
You go home
early pretty much every day. And your prior experience was at GOED.
That's right.
You were there for a long time.
Yeah, Governor's Office of Economic Development from 2012 till about November of last year when the governor appointed me to Business and Industry.
So you've seen all these incredible projects come from the beginning thought to fruition, which has been amazing.
Oh, it's been a whirlwind. I remember, you know, first coming in 2012, and there were articles here in the paper about, is Reno the next Detroit, and how concerned we were. And of course, at that time under Governor Sandoval, the goal was 50,000 jobs, if you remember back to that time. We had 14.1% unemployment. And my God, how far we've come, right? Today in 2024, and looking at the economy and the opportunity that we have ahead of us, I sometimes have to pinch myself. And it's been a tough road. I mean, we've had a lot of work to do. We didn't always get everything right in terms of the policies, but I think on the whole, it's worked out well for the state. And it's great to see folks working and the economy booming. And I'm very fortunate to work for Governor Lombardo, who has a vision of making sure folks have an opportunity and have affordable housing, and that we can continue that trend.
Well, and the fact that with perhaps the exception of Pumpkin Hollow right now, the whole state is on fire in a good way, from Las Vegas to Northern Nevada, rural Nevada. I mean, it's incredible.
Well, it is, and just referencing that opportunity, and one of the things that we hear a lot of is the buzz phrase about the lithium loop. And, you know, for me, this is one of the biggest opportunities this state probably had since, you know, gaming started. And that's not hyperbole. We are very unique in that we have extraction and now recycling with redwood materials. And we have just about every vertical of the industry represented. And so, you know, Nevada can position itself as a leader, not only in Nevada, but in basically in North America in this industry. And really it comes down to, you know, the limits of our vision and not placing those limits on ourselves and thinking about how we fit into the network in the Southwest, the value that we add to the nation with lithium production here. We've got to get processing. That's the one thing that really is a tremendous opportunity for us as we look at the verticals in the industry and address those gaps. But if we can bring processing, new technologies in processing that aren't as detrimental to the environment to Nevada, we will position ourselves in North America as a leader in the industry.
Okay, so are there people knocking on our door in terms of processing?
Well, there are, and we're knocking on doors. So the governor in October spent time up in Canada, and we were in Northern Ontario province, which is the mining hub for Canada, where there are also lithium deposits. And we have been, over the last couple of years, talking to the mining community across the Southwest and looking at where we can all come together on making sure that we get this right. And I mentioned the network, but it really is a network for, you know, Mexico, Canada, the U.S., with Nevada at the center, and enticing those companies to have the new technologies to come in and look at how bringing those companies will add value to that entire supply chain, and not just in the Nevada context, but for the entire nation.
Where, if we're not giving away secrets, where would you situate a processing plant?
Well, that's a great question, and it really comes down to if we're seeking to ensure that the supply chain is healthy and that we're addressing the needs of the industry, that question needs to be answered by the industry. You know, they're in the business. They know what they need. And their supply chains are complex. It's another opportunity for us as this industry is emerging and growing, is where is that supply chain nested? Of course, we'd like to get all the investment we can in Nevada, but I think it's going to be more of a compromise with our state, other state partners, and frankly, Canada and Mexico as well, to see where those things need to be seated, what best fits Nevada, given the makeup of where we're going and in our state, and then listening to industry.
All right, so that brings up Interstate 11.
Yeah.
So how does that play into all of that? Because for those that don't know, this is coming from the ports in Mexico all the way up through Arizona, Nevada, and then eventually ending up in Canada. But it seems decades away.
Well, it does. And, you know, any thoroughfare we have through Nevada is very helpful. And there's a few reasons why. When we look at supply chain management, we look at the ease of traffic flowing through our state, there's a couple of things that I think about. One is the economic value that we can capture by having those thoroughfares through the state, which we have an opportunity at this point. So 40% of the nation's freight goes through the Port of Long Beach. About 3 years ago, the Inland Port Authority in Salt Lake City, when that Inland Port was created, signed an agreement with the Port of Long Beach in which the 2% of the 40% that is destined for the Intermountain West would be processed in Salt Lake City, which means we get all the negative externalities here in Nevada. We get all the pollution, we get all the road maintenance, we get all the congestion, while Utah would then benefit from the jobs and the economic value. So when we think about I-11 and we think about the Interstate 15, we think about I-80, it's looking at those long-term. It's looking at how we can capture value by having all that freight and goods coming through the state, the distances that they travel, you know, what we need to do in our infrastructure to support the truck traffic, which is going to increase. I mean, I think everybody's probably recognized we have a lot of trucks on the road. That's going to continue. And so, you know, we've got to look, you know, 10, 15, 20 years down the road as we're growing this industry, as we are trying to seed Nevada as the central location in the nation for this industry, and how we capture value all along those corridors. So I-11 is immensely important in making sure that we're working with the federal planners and that gets done right for Nevada.
So that brings up Gene, because the idea behind the expansion at Gene that Tolles Development is working on is that, first of all, trucks would be able to deliver goods and be able to turn around and go back to Southern California because they wouldn't hit that time delay. And then you've got Ivanpah, the airport that is planned for down the road in the 2030s, 2030s. How does all that play into it?
Oh, it's immensely important. And Toll's vision, I think, is the right one for the region there. And, you know, we've heard from the trucking industry how much of an advantage it would be to be able to do that turnaround in one day. And the advantage that we have in that part of the valley is that you it's prior to coming into just after state line before you get into the actual valley proper, right? So there's a lot of advantages there. I think the challenge that we have are twofold. One is getting back to that vision idea, which is a regional planning around what that whole entire area could be. And then also in working with BLM and making sure that we're able to get a lands bill passed that would benefit the region.
So this is, to me, the biggest thing that we have to deal with, because we have so many projects north and south that are so dependent on federal lands bills, and they are separate ones. Our delegation has been working judiciously to be able to get these passed, but we keep hitting roadblocks and have done for years now. What is your optimism level for seeing, not obviously in this Congress, but perhaps the next Congress, that we could actually see a Clark County lands bill? Because they turned down one because they said there wasn't enough land involved in it, and a Washoe County lands bill.
Yeah, I think, well, let's unpack that a little bit. So we hear a lot about 87% of the state's land is federally controlled. So what's that mean? So we have about 70 million acres in Nevada, 54 million of which is controlled by the federal government. 47 million of that is controlled by the Bureau of Land Management, one agency, one of six agencies within the Department of Interior. And that doesn't include DOD and Department of Energy. To put this in a broader perspective, in a larger context, the entire breadbasket for California is 43 million acres, has about 70,000 farms. So if you think about the economic value there, and you think about 47 million acres being controlled in Nevada, we're fairly unique in Nevada. We like to be an outlier in most things that we do here, and in this instance, it's not to our advantage, and not of our control or making. But the challenge we have is that of the top five states that have the most federal land ownership, which is Alaska, California, Utah, Nevada, and Arizona, or excuse me, not Arizona, Wyoming, pardon me, the next two closest to us are about 61 and 62%. So at 87%, there's no other state that really has this level of an issue with the federal land ownership and the way that we do. And why am I bringing up all the data behind that? Well, I think it's important to think about that in the context of what happens in Washington when it comes to lands bills. Because the Bureau of Land Management is not, you know, ever present in every single state. And in fact, we've probably experienced the most interaction with the Bureau of Land Management than any other state in the country. And what that means is that we have a pretty high bar we have to reach when we're talking to, when our delegation members are talking to other members of Congress that just don't have to deal with this. And so we've got to be, in my estimation, thinking about this in terms of the top line strategy that we develop and the message that we deliver and why this is so important for the vitality of not only our communities but the Southwest. And earlier when we were talking about the growth of the lithium loop and what we need to do in terms of looking at supply chains, we have to, I think, talk about this in the broader context of that network. Our success in this state, our success in the I-80 corridor, the I-15 corridor, wherever we're talking about in the state, also has ripple effects to the rest of the country and the Southwest and our ability to be able to move goods through the state, to have a healthy economy where we can, you know, go out and be thoughtful in how we grow and utilize those lands for affordable housing and opportunity for our citizens. And so I think that the alignment at the local level, kind of communicating one strategy when it comes to this issue, is very important. I think also some realism about what our delegation faces in the process in D.C. And sometimes we're not going to get everything that we want. We're going to have to compromise in this, and it's going to be gradual over time, as we've seen. I mean, the Southern Nevada Public Lands Management Act and SNPLMA was done during the early 2000s with Senator Reid and Ensign.
Which has been an unbelievably huge success.
Absolutely, absolute success. And, you know, we've got to just keep chipping away at that because of that dynamic that we have and being fairly unique in this instance.
I'm going to use this as an example, but I think that maybe this is an example for D.C. as well. I've said for a long time, and one of the reasons we made this program statewide, was that I felt as the power in the state moved to Southern Nevada, that Reno-Sparks, Washoe County, was going to need to market itself to Southern Nevada to be able to say, this is a large community up here. Because in the past, the rap has been, people in Northern Nevada don't like Southern Nevada. True or not? People in Southern Nevada have no idea what's in Northern Nevada. And so the question is, do Washoe County, Reno Sparks market this region, whether it be as a destination, what we have in terms of industry and population, to Southern Nevada, so when there's a legislative session, people in Southern Nevada already know about Northern Nevada. Does the same thing need to be done in terms of the land needed for all these things that you're talking about? Do we need to do a marketing campaign to either certain people in DC or DC in general to say, this is who we are, this is how important this is as a centerpiece of the Southwest to be able to make everything for this country work better? We need these lands bills and you need to be aware of them.
I think we do. I mean, we have to define that narrative, so to speak, in the policy context, right? We don't want to let them define it for us. And in the federal context, so much of what we hear about is Yucca Mountain, right? And the idea that, you know, we're known as the gaming state, which has been great for us, and it's tremendous. But our economy's changed. And we talked about that just a minute ago, about the last decade and what's happened here and the growth that we've seen. You know, we're in a different place than we've been. And so with that in mind, I think we kind of have to educate folks back east about what Nevada is, what Nevada's potential is, and where we're going. And it's been great to see, you know, I think Governor Lombardo's in Washington, D.C. this week with Select USA, and he's talking about kind of this Nevada and where we're headed. The conference he's attending now is focused on international investors and enticing them to come to our state. But we've got to do that. We've got to get out there. Our leaders have to get out there and talk about the state, and because it's not what folks, you know, on the face of it see in the media, if they're just paying attention to what's in the news. And they don't realize the full potential that's here for Nevada.
Well, and now the technology with the internet and social media and all the rest, the ability to pinpoint and target not only the congressional delegations, but also their staffers, that can be done, as you well know, to an unbelievable degree. Let's take a break. We'll come back much more with Dr. Chris Sanchez. He is director of the Nevada Department of Business and Industry after this timeout.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Here on 7 at 7, we're bringing you the local headlines in just 7 minutes.
We've got you covered in the morning, evening, and for all breaking news in between and as it happens.
Life is busy and we don't waste your time. Join us for local news now streaming on our YouTube page.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dr. Chris Sanchez. He's the director of the Nevada Department of Business and Industry. Of course, the big issue in Nevada is always water. John Ensminger was on the program recently and has said, you know, beyond this as well, that as long as they build the pipeline back to Lake Mead, that we're not going to run out of water for southern Nevada. But people still have concerns about the growth. In northern Nevada, water is always an issue as well. In fact, of course, across the entire state it is. Your thoughts on where we are at this point and perhaps what we should be looking at the next legislative session in terms of water needs?
Well, it's great. You know, yes, water is kind of ever-present in everybody's mind when it comes to Nevada and southern Nevada. You know, what SNWA has been able to do with recapture and reuse is best in class
yes.
around the world. I mean, you know from our history and the work that that's been done overseas and promoting that, I mean, it's just unmatched. And so there's a couple of things that I think about. So the entire Colorado River Basin is about 15 million acre feet. 79% of that is for agriculture. 12% of that is for the consumptive use, which is, you know, faucets. And you think about, you know, Phoenix, LA, and Las Vegas. About 5% of it's for energy production. So, but that's only 12%. That's on the consumptive side, right? And so we have, I think, as a state, and SNWA has been doing this, is to look at augmenting. You know, how are we going to add more capacity into that system? Very difficult question to answer. I mean, as you know, we're dealing with centuries-old, you know, water policy and law here and precedent, as well as, you know, multiple states and Mexico and the Colorado River Compact. And so I think, you know, what SNWA has done for Nevada has give us a long runway in terms of the ability and how they approach that reuse and capturing. And recently, within the last 5 years or so, they've really leaned into the growth in Southern Nevada and working with companies that are looking to come into the region and work with them on looking at the engineering of their buildings and identifying different opportunities that they may have for utilizing new technology. They've set up another best-in-class technology testing platform that they've had for over a decade now, where they test technology in real time on the utility, which is unheard of in the industry because of the risk that entails. But what that allows for is when you have a company that's looking to have a Western presence that may have just been operating in the East Coast, they're coming in with that East Coast mindset of not having to really think about this, right?
Right.
And they're coming into an arid environment. So, you know, I think a lot of that policy development will happen at the national level, not so much legislative. I could be wrong there, and that's really a question for the Water Authority to answer. But I think much of where we're at now is you know, the consortium of states and making sure that consortium gets policy right and reuse and recycling right, as well as looking at augmentation in the long term with the Bureau of Reclamation.
And, you know, it's fascinating to look at these other states and see that they want the water from the river, but they are not doing all the things that Nevada is showing them and Southern Nevada Water Authority is showing them that can be done that can conserve so much water.
Well, and we need to. And, you know, the reality of it is, too, is that 90% of that let's say it this way. The winter vegetables in the United States, 90% of those come out of the Colorado River Basin. So we've got real economic interests that are important to the nation through this the river basin here. And, you know, I don't think it's realistic for us to assume that we're going to be able to have cuts everywhere else but here. But I think that if we can conserve more, and have everybody adopt, as you said, the Southern Nevada Water Authority platform, which is what we were pushing, you know, getting folks to realize internationally. We have the ability, from the entire basin perspective, to prolong some of those challenges that we may have while we're looking for options for augmentation.
All right, let's take another break, and we'll be right back.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up to date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dr. Chris Sanchez from the Nevada Department of Business and Industry. One of the big issues across the state is affordable housing. Your take on that?
Well, this is a priority of Governor Lombardo and the Department of Business and Industry. We have the Nevada Housing Division. We have about $1 billion in federal funds that are funneled through that division into our local communities. We're working very, very closely with the Bureau of Land Management on identifying federal lands that we could use for affordable housing. So we're intently focused on this. We want to make sure.
Is that easier to do than the lands bills per se?
Well, we have to look at what's currently in the system, so to speak. So the lands bills are for taking additional land out of the, let's say, the federal control and transferring those into through different mechanisms to the state. We do have land that's already gone through the SNPLMA process that or is in that process that we can then identify and work with BLM on for that use.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming in today. I have a ton more questions, so will you please come back?
Absolutely. Thank
okay.
you for having me.
A pleasure. Thank you, and we'll be right back.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real. It's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers. We'll see you on the next broadcast.